Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, March 14, 2016. South Sudan lawmakers have summoned the Minister of Finance and the Governor of the Bank of South Sudan to explain the country's economic crisis.
I'm not seeing the Minister of Finance nor the Governor of Central Bank who are supposed to be here. We are really in problems. And we will go on discussing this issue. It will be condemned by our people whom we are representing.
And residents of Yambio Town welcome the deployment of military personnel to arrest errant members of South Sudan Army who have been harassing civilians.
This is the first time we have seen the organized group coming to our place. People are professional who take their responsibility in the manner in which they were trained to. As I'm talking now, it has taken some days now. Security is stabilized.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese lawmakers today rejected an attempt by the House Speaker Manasi Magok-Rondial to form a new ad hoc committee to address the economic crisis in the country. Lawmakers voted against forming a new committee to address the crisis. As Philip Thornaleu reports for VOA from Juba, the lawmakers have summoned the Minister of Finance and the Bank of Governor of South Sudan to explain government's plan to stabilize the skyrocketing prices.
There were some chaotic scenes during today's parliamentary sitting as members of parliament debated South Sudan deteriorating economic conditions, daily increases in the prices of basic food items in the market, and the weakening South Sudanese pound against the US dollar sharply divided the parliament. Pascal Bandindi presented a motion for the formation of an ad hoc committee, which was supported by several committee chairmen, to deal directly with the economic crisis. Bandindi said the proposed committee will have specific oversight roles.
To intervene in macroeconomic welfare of the country, both in monetary and fiscal policies. So also examine a constraint affecting the smooth collection of the non-oil revenues. Ensure discipline in budgetary expenditure, oversight on monetary performances, and examine areas of investment, especially additional exploitation of natural resources.
Bandindi said this new body will meet every Thursday to review progress being made. But Onyoti Adigo, Parliament's minority leader and a member of the main opposition Democratic Change Party, said forming a separate committee was an attempt to divert attention from the real issues at hand.
We are supposed to have discussed the problem of skyrocketing of prices in the market. I'm not seeing the Minister of Finance nor the Governor of Central Bank who are supposed to be here. We are really in problems. And we will go on discussing this issue. It will be condemned by our people whom we are representing.
Adigo recommended that Parliament summon the Finance Minister, David Ngathorbe, and the Central Bank Governor, Corina Koriom, to explain the delay to increase soldiers and civil servant salaries by 300% as promised by the government following the depletion of South Sudanese pounds in December. Gordon Mattard, a ruling SPLM party lawmaker representing Yirol County, also rejected the idea of forming a separate committee to monitor the economic crisis. Mattard criticized the specialized committee for failing to do their work and accused them of looking for scapegoats.
Some of them do not even have the basic knowledge of financial or economic matters. What have they done for the last 2 years? What have they done? They have even made the assembly to collapse. It is about to collapse. And they never talk. They never talk.
The lawmakers unanimously supported Mattard and other MPs who refused the formation of a new committee and turned over that task to the Committee for Finance and Economic Planning. The Minister of Finance and the Governor of the Central Bank of South Sudan have been summoned to Parliament to answer questions from lawmakers on how to slow the devaluation of the South Sudanese pound and to stabilize prices of basic goods in the market. The two are expected to appear before Parliament on Wednesday. For VOA News, I am Philip Onaleu in Juba.
Residents of Yambio say they welcome the recent deployment of more than 100 military police units to boost security and maintain law and order in their town. They say they believe the military police will interact with civilians in a more professional manner than other security agencies. Residents have accused some of the national security of arresting and harassing civilians. Gift Friday has that story for VOA from Juba.
The red-capped military police were deployed in Yambio last week at the request of State Governor Patrick Raphael Zamoi. Yambio residents have accused armed forces deployed in the area in the past of harassing them and looting their property ever since fighting broke out between government forces and local vigilantes known as the Aero Boys. Yambio resident Clement Undo says civilians have been living in fear. He believes the military police personnel will protect civilians in the area.
We, the entire community, we are seeing like all the mess up from the organized force. They are going to the meeting place using their own gun. Even at times, they can drink more than enough, lying on the way. This force, as they have already arrived in Yambio, they will be the one to minimize.
Yambio resident Elisa Mokazi agrees, saying it is the first time for him seeing what he calls a professional army in the state.
We are very happy because this is the first time we have seen the organized group coming to our place. People are professional, who take their responsibility in the manner in which they were trained to. As I'm talking now, it has taken some days now. Security is stabilized.
Mukasi says residents will share security-related information and issues with the new forces as part of their contribution to maintaining security and law in the town. Emmanuel Ganiko, a resident of Masia, says he has seen changes in Yambio town since the arrival of the military police. Ganiko says at first people were frightened seeing the red cabs in Yambio town.
Really, the day we received this organized force, We were too scared. We thought that maybe there is a problem or insecurity. Then some 2 to 3 hours, they start to explain to us that, no, these are our brothers. They just come to avoid this problem of gunshot, what. So we were really happy.
Ganiko says since their arrival in Yambio, other security agencies' personnel have stopped harassing civilians in public places. He advises state officials to use the local media to inform residents about the role of the newly deployed military police personnel in their town.
At least they have to go to media and to explain the work they are here for in local, both English, Arabic and Zande, so that the people, they should know exactly why are they here in Yambio. At least we are going to support them and let them support us.
Budwe State Governor Patrick Raphael Zamoi agrees the reaction was mixed when the military police units first arrived.
People thought we are not going for peace. People thought we are just bringing army for war. But I made it very clear to them that the military police is my headquarters forces.
Community leaders and human rights groups in Yambio have accused SPLA soldiers of harassing and even killing some civilians, looting property and burning civilians' houses during the recent 7-month-old conflict. Parts of the former Western Equatoria state have experienced insecurity with clashes between armed youth groups and government forces reported in Mundri, Yambio, and Maridi counties. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Wau, where farmers are urging the local authorities to provide security so they can return to their farms and prepare the land for planting season, which begins in a few weeks. Hundreds of people have left their villages and sought refuge in Wau town because of recent uptick in fighting between government forces and unknown gunmen. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Wau.
58-year-old Girapon Siano, who fled violence in Haik Hamsin area, says the cost of living in Wau town is very high. Speaking in Arabic, Ponciano is calling on the warring parties to resolve their differences peacefully, so villagers like her can return to farming.
Ponciano
says this is the season when they prepare their farms for planting. She says her farm is outside the town in the Natabu area, but she says she can't go there now due to insecurity. She says if farmers like her do not cultivate the land before the rains come, they will fail to grow crops this year. She urges Wau County authorities to provide people like her with protection so they can go back to farming. According to the assessment carried out by South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission office in Wau and their humanitarian partners, more than 38,000 people fled a conflict from Wau County and they are residing in various host communities in Wau. A trader in Wau's Joe Market, Peter Basilio Gell, says he too used to buy cassava flour, groundnuts and dry okra from local communities in Wau County to sell in the market. Gell, who has worked in Joe Market since 2008, says the lack of food supplies from local farmers had forced him to start selling fuel. Gell says the situation is so bad that the government must provide security. He says people need food, and if the rain season comes, many of the rural roads will be closed. He says roads in Wau County or road to Khartoum should be open and security should be provided so that he is able to work and provide his kids with education. Wau County Commissioner Anthony Fada Taban says the government is trying to restore security in the area so displaced villagers can return home. Speaking in Arabic, Taban admits that if people do not plant crops this year, the country residents might face the risk of starvation. Taban says it is true that local food products in the market have gone down because people are not able to transport them to the market due to insecurity. He says people used to sell things in the market, but now it is no longer there. He says the local government is trying to provide security to the area. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
We now move to Sudan, where the United Nations is calling on all parties to the conflict in Darfur to support the United Nations African Union hybrid mission, known as UNAMID, in protecting vulnerable civilians. The UN is also calling on the Sudanese government to apprehend gunmen responsible for last week's attack on an UNAMID convoy that left one peacekeeper dead. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Khartoum.
UNAMID is a Darfur-based African Union and United Nations peacekeeping mission formally approved by the United Nations Security Council. Last Thursday, UNAMID troops were escorting a humanitarian convoy near Khartoum in North Darfur when unidentified gunmen in four land cruisers opened fire on the convoy. Ashraf Issa is UNAMID spokesman in Darfur.
Once the attackers opened fire on the convoy, the peacekeepers responded, and the ensuing exchange of fire resulted in the death of one South African peacekeeper and the injury of another.
Issa says despite the deadly confrontation with UNAMID troops, the assailants got away. He says it is not clear why the gunmen attacked the humanitarian convoy.
Usually attacks on these convoys are with the purpose of seizing some of the goods carried by these vehicles, but of course we cannot ascertain the intentions of the assailants at this point.
Issa says dozens of peacekeepers have lost their lives in Darfur during attacks by unknown gunmen over the last few years.
Over 60 peacekeepers have, since the start of the mission in 2008, have lost their lives in hostile action, which of course is a very unfortunate occurrence.
The UN spokesman says attacks on humanitarian workers are not acceptable and require an intervention at the higher level of the United Nations.
This is why the joint statement from the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and Madame Zuma, the chairperson of the African Union, called on all the parties of the conflict to support UNAMID's peacekeeper in the responsibility of discharging their duties and of course called on the relevant authorities to bring the perpetrators to justice.
Aisa says this is a crucial time for UNAMID because it is protecting thousands of civilians who have been displaced by the recent violence between the SLA Abdul Wahid rebel group and government troops in Jabal Marra.
The mission has provided those women and children with physical protection and first-line support and, until the arrival of the humanitarian actors who are now discharging their duties there in taking care of these refugees.
Sudan government says it is still investigating last week's incident and will bring the perpetrators to justice. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, UNICEF says it needs millions more dollars to feed and care for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese children. That story after this.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What do you like to eat for breakfast?
Tea. I love to take tea as breakfast every morning.
Most of the time, for me, I like to eat egg in the morning with the bread and some fruits. Yeah, early in the morning, I start my day and I like to drink tea so much.
I like corn porridge and bean cake, yes. It's healthy and I enjoy eating it.
I eat an egg with kisra. Kisra is a local South Sudanese food made of flour and it has a little bit of salt in it. So it's just very nice for breakfast.
I normally want to eat a local food called kenke and fish, fried fish mainly, with some hot sauce.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says millions of South Sudanese children are at the risk of dying of various conditions due to lack of funding required by the agency to assist families affected by the 2 years of fighting. The agency says so far they have received less than three quarters of the $155 million it says it needs to fund various children's programs, including fighting malnutrition across the country. Waki Simon Wudu has this report for VOA from Juba.
UNICEF's spokesperson in South Sudan, Tim Arwin, says the slow pace at which donors have been releasing funds to the organization is putting children's lives at risk. Arwin says UNICEF has so far received only $27 million US to address the problems facing South Sudanese children.
UNICEF is very concerned that without additional funding, we're going to have to cut back on some of the life-saving programs which we have planned for 2016. As context, earlier this year we put out a humanitarian appeal which laid out what we believed was necessary, the kind of funding that was necessary in order for us to do the work that is required in South Sudan.
This year alone, UNICEF hopes to reach 5 million children across the country, including those affected by the more than two-year conflict. Arwin says the funding would provide life-saving interventions such as malnutrition treatment, education, healthy care, and clean water.
Without additional funding, for instance, children will not be vaccinated against measles. More than 3 million children could be susceptible to measles. We're concerned that several hundred thousand children who are out of school because of conflict in parts of the country will not be assisted to return to the classroom. And that about 16,000 children who are still connected to various armed groups in the country will not be assisted to release. So it really is a grave situation that requires a massive response.
He says this year UNICEF plans to treat hundreds of thousands of severely malnourished children, return over 500,000 children to school, and assist in the release and reintegration of 16,000 children believed to have been recruited and used as child soldiers in the conflict. UNICEF also says the number of children in need of support may likely increase considering recent armed clashes in former Western Equatoria and Western Bahr el Ghazal states. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to New York, where the UN Commission on the Status of Women is kicking off its annual conference today at UN headquarters in New York. Representatives from member states and UN-accredited non-governmental organizations from all over the world will discuss gender equality and the role women play in changing their society. One South Sudanese government employee says access to healthcare is a crucial step in securing a world where women can freely address the issues and concerns of their communities. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
This year's conference is focusing on women's empowerment and women's role in sustainable development. The Juba-based governmental organization, Daughters of the South, believes that access to proper health care is the first step in helping women feel empowered to do more in their communities. Asunta Adengabur, the organization's country representative, was invited by the International Public Policy Institute, a UN-accredited think tank, to speak about her work in South Sudan. She says women's health is a primary concern for her organization.
Because we understand that sometimes the smallest thing could be the thing that causes a woman's life. So if they give birth at home, they can go into complications in there in terms either the moms die or the babies die or both. And in South Sudan, a lot of women are dying from just really simple complications that can be solved in the hospital, they can be solved by a medical professional.
In the midst of worsening economic conditions, Abur says women's issues are too often overlooked. She works with the Ministry of Health to provide proper health care to patients. The Daughters of the South provide IDPs and local Juba residents with dignity kits, which are equipped with basic necessary essentials like soap and sanitary wipes.
And these kits basically provide necessities that a lot of women who go to these government hospitals are not able to afford. Due to poverty and the level of our economy right now, a lot of women cannot buy, sanitary napkins or cloth diapers for the baby, powder, petroleum jelly, spirit, or alcohol wipes for the baby and all those things.
The government of South Sudan has been slow in providing development for the health industry in the country. Abur says one of the most underdeveloped clinics is Lologo, which is right outside Juba. Lologo has been able to help an increasing number of IDPs despite facing funding and capacity shortages.
And for me personally, it is one of those hospitals that you see that it needs so much help. But since we started working with them, I've heard testimonials from the midwives of how the numbers of locals and the IDPs coming to the maternity wards have increased. And that's the biggest thing that we want is that we want the numbers to increase. We want more people to come to these hospitals and get professional help. And to hear that it is happening in a hospital that is so underdeveloped as Lologo, it makes me really excited because then we can, come up with other programs.
Later this week, the conference will host a panel discussion featuring some of South Sudan's notable women. The First Lady of South Sudan, Maria Yen Mayardit, and former First Lady, Rebecca Nyandengareng de Mabior, will join Angelina Teng, former minister and wife of First Vice President Riek Machar. The UN has gained criticism for inviting the women who have stood by the sides of President Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar, respectively, despite their husbands' inability to stop the growing trend of violence against women during South Sudan's conflict. Ayen Bior, VOA News, Washington.
A U.S.-based organization called Child Voice International has sponsored six commercial sex workers to attend 18 months of vocational training in Gulu, Uganda. The training is meant to help the sex workers learn new skills in order to become self-reliant. As VOA fellow Tito Justin reports, the Yeye Women's Union say there are many sex workers in the town.
Representatives with the Women's Union in Yeye say there are more than 30 commercial sex workers operating in area hotels. 16-year-old Victoria Mande is a commercial sex worker who has been on the streets for several years. Mande says she left her parents when she was 13 years old. Speaking in her local Kakwa language, Mande says she went into the business to earn money because her parents were not helping her. Victoria says her father refused to pay her school fees. She says her father said he cannot pay tuition fees for grown-up people like her. And she asked him, "Is it true that you cannot pay our school fees?" He said, "No, he cannot." Victoria says Her father is not paying the school fees for any of his children staying with him at home. Hannah Rose is another commercial sex worker. Rose says she sells her body so that she can earn money to feed her two-year-old child. Rose was selected to attend the vocational training in Uganda. Mandela Wani is the country director for Child Voice. Wani says many of the girls are traumatized and need psychiatric counseling.
The spiritual aspect also plays a very, very positive part in rehabilitating these girls, because without the spiritual rehabilitation, I think it's really, really very difficult. That's why the spiritual guidance is paramount, and then also the vocational aspect, which is to do with the hairdressing, saloon, bakery, catering, and tailoring.
Wani says Child Voice will pay for more girls after the first six girls complete their training successfully. The chairperson of the Yei Women's Union, Nadia Rosalind, says some of the girls are orphans. Rosalind says, unfortunately, some of the girls may return back to the streets after attending the vocational training in Uganda. She says the girls need more than vocational training opportunities.
If you could have a training center, maybe a center whereby we can bring them and give them counseling and train them so that they change, they will not go back. But really, we are sorry, we don't have them, and we left them.
In April last year, Yei River County authorities issued an order to the managers of hotels and lodges to ban all commercial sex workers from renting hotel rooms. 45 commercial sex workers were later rounded up and detained, but no charges were brought against them and authorities released them. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Yei.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. South Sudanese lawmakers today rejected an attempt by the House Speaker to form a new ad hoc committee to address the economic crisis in the country. The lawmakers summoned the Minister of Finance and Economic Planning and the Governor of the Bank of South Sudan to appear on Wednesday to explain the government's plan to stabilize skyrocketing prices and the South Sudanese pound. The Parliament's minority leader said forming a separate committee was simply an attempt to divert attention from the real issues at hand. Residents of the new Goodway state capital of Yambio say they welcome the recent deployment of more than 100 military police units to boost security and maintain law and order. They say they believe the military police will interact with civilians in a more professional manner than other security agencies have in the past. And finally, the UN is calling on all parties to the conflict in Darfur to support the UN African hybrid mission known as UNAMID in protecting vulnerable citizens. The UN is also calling on Sudan to apprehend gunmen responsible for last week's attack on an UNAMID convoy that left one peacekeeper dead. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Long Onyo by Colonel Mido, who comes from Yei.
Sabi Guru shuta kide ma bodita visa mae Saidu masakine Saidu akwana kulwe Saidu masakine Saidu akwana kulwe Guru shuta kide ma bido funita ya sabi Taki de ma bodita fisa mae Saidu masakine Saidu akwana kulwe Saidu masakine Hey yakwana Aino takumlokuluku Makalam gurus rasto biga kebin Makalam gurus biga mabisele mnastisika Aba halkulu makalam gurus
We've been listening to Colonel Mido from Yei with that song, Long Onyo. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for starting your week with us. And remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.